Welcome, everyone. My guest today for this sponsored episode is Steve Gensler, Senior Vice President of Data and Analytics at Home Genius Real Estate, to talk about AI in the home buying journey. I'm really excited about this one, so let's jump in. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Great to have you on, especially about this very interesting topic, which everybody in the industry is trying to figure out what it means for them, how they can leverage it. So let's just jump in and let's start with, like, what are some of the misconceptions that maybe the mortgage and real estate industry have about the use of AI?
Yeah, there's a lot. And frankly, the immersion of the release of ChatGPT and some of these new generative AI solutions has really kind of raised the level of temperature of folks thinking about this. And so it's become even, I think, more concerning for folks and therefore more misconceptions in the last 18 months or so. I think the one I hear the most is that it's going to take our jobs, right? And there is no dystopian universe that's coming our way anytime soon. Consumers really value human interactions. Like, we're a social being. That's what we do. And it's no different in the real estate and mortgage chains. Right, there are experts in there that are provide a service, and that's not going to change. Now, I do think that there will be a shifting potentially balance of what we'll call, like, a la carte versus fixed services, and that changes. That always changes as parts of the marketplace become more technologically savvy. But in general, expertise is still something that consumers have always said they want. All surveys that we see about this topic show the same thing. And so we don't think that there is I think it's a misconception that they're going to take jobs away. It's going to augment roles to make experts more expert, and hopefully make their lives a lot easier. I think another one that I hear quite often is AI is for tech-savvy people only. And historically, that's been generally the case because there's lots of elements of building it into something that's usable. But that's not as true anymore, particularly with Gen AI. In the past 18 months, we've seen the release of a number of these what we call AI tools, like the ChatGPT as an application, that are really truly user-friendly and require little or no coding or even technical skills to use. And so these apps harness the power of these underlying what we call large language models in ways that make it fairly simple for everyday folks to use it. And that allows people to streamline operations, right, improve customer service, make better decisions. And while those apps by themselves are helpful, I do think that there is still some hard to implement components of artificial intelligence in general that still do require some pretty deep skill sets in order to do kind of large scale enterprise. But you're seeing more and more of these elements that leverage the conversational component of this to do that. And the last thing I would just say is, I hear a lot this concept of it's cost prohibitive, right? We can't implement these things. And so there's a trade-off. Historically speaking, a lot of these big models that people are using were, from a development standpoint, what we call, like, open source, which means somebody builds these models, right, and these data sets, and they put them out in the wild and let people use them generally for free. But that has changed, especially with ChatGPT, into a new set of models called open access. And so open access is really where, right, the cost of building these models has become so excessive that they have to charge something for it. And so it's a trade-off. They're easier to use, but you might have to pay something for these applications, as opposed to open source, where it is free, but you need developers to be able to, right, build tools around it.
That's super interesting. I feel like the first misconception there happens anytime we introduce any new technology, right? I feel like, it's human nature, but also maybe particularly the people in our industry are like, they're afraid they're about to get disrupted right out of a job, right? It's like, oh, what's the next thing coming that's going to, make it? And time and again, we've seen just the durability of that human connection, which is, what you mentioned. Some parts of this process, nothing but a human is going to do.
That's right. And I think that you're right. History has shown us that innovations, right, have not eliminated people from the workforce. It has put them in positions to do different things more successfully. I think where this might be a little bit different for folks in our industries today is that historically, Some of these, you know, big technology lifts, right? Think of the assembly line, right? Think of fire, right? Think of some of these big innovations that have happened over the history of time. They have typically been changes that affect most often kind of the lower skilled employee base, and less so the more skilled or, you know, white collars, we might call them, types of employees. The generative AI paradigm is clearly shifting to where the change that could happen or will happen will impact, right, higher up that kind of intelligence and expertise level. But I think at the end of the day, right, while this is going to be a change and it'll affect, right, all the folks that we're talking about, it'll be more positive than negative.
That's a great distinction. I think you're right. And I think that's why it might be hitting what we'd call professionals, right? White collar professionals harder, people in our industry, because now it's real to them too, right? And it, where it might have felt like before, well, there was a moat around that, it's not. But at the same time, there's a lot of opportunity here. So let's talk about some of that. How can leveraging AI improve the home buying journey?
Great question. I'll start by saying so when we talk about the home buying journey, it's not just home buyers. Right. What we're seeing in AI, and again, in particular in Gen AI, is going to affect every member of the ecosystem: closing specialists, appraisers, inspectors, contractors, agents, loan officers, underwriters, and of course, consumers, right? Buyers and sellers. So every segment of our ecosystem, I'm sure I left out a couple, in the next 12 to 18 months will be impacted in some, you know, more material way than they are today. And saying that, I think the great opportunity is that we're going to see, and I think the most important, opportunity is through personalization, right? And this will probably be a bit of a theme you might hear because I'm passionate about this, right? Personalization in the past, let's say to real estate agents, was sending out postcards that had my name on it. Dear Steve, I want to let you know what's happening, right? Or it's market trends. I can tell you what happened in your zip code over the last 12 months of transactions. And that was personalization, right? Air quotes. And what we're going to consider personalization going forward is going to be very different. It is going to be using much more powerful algorithms that can analyze individual borrower preferences and past behaviors and align that with patterns and data to really personalize not only what is delivered, but how and when. And so, you know, that lowers the cost of customer acquisition, right, writ large, through these more personalized and effective marketing situations. Yeah. So I think from a CRM and marketing solution perspective, we're just scratching the surface, right? We know that consumers are easily turned off. They don't want 50 phone calls, right? So if the value that you are providing through your marketing channel delivers something that is of value to the consumer because it is more personalized to them, that is where AI can really make a big difference. Like, you don't have to go out and reach them 50 times to get them to respond. If you hit them exactly when, right? I'm exaggerating, but if on the moment that your second child is born and you know now that, right, or you find out you're having a second child, you know you're going to need to move. If an email came across or some sort of delivery of information came to you that said, hey, Steve, right? Hey, Sarah, we know this is going to happen or there's a likelihood. Here's some opportunities for you to do this, this, or this. That becomes something that people will respond to because it affects them both financially and emotionally where they are at that point in time. So I think that's part of it. I think AI is going to change valuations. I think valuations will get better through the use of more and more data. When you build a model, you throw all this information in there and you use those variables to come up with a prediction. And then you have what's called this residual, which is the part of the prediction that is not actually defined by the variables you use. And so I can say beds, bathroom, square footage, and how do I get a price out of that or a value out of that? And there's all this other stuff, like, you know, how much snowfall they get, or which direction the house is facing, or how much sunlight actually hits it. That ultimately affects the value when it comes to trading that property, but it's not really captured. And so we have a lot of stuff that is allowing us to look at much more data in a totally different way. And in fact, I'll give you an example. We're doing it, right? We're doing a ton of computer vision work and looking at images and trying to help expand the amount of information that you have about properties. And we've created over 115 billion data points about homes in the US simply by interrogating images. And so that allows us to eventually change the paradigm, change the discussion from price to value. And so AI can help to enhance the conversation. So I think about price. Price is where something is going to sell, buy or sell, but value is what I as a consumer, right, where I think it's valuable to me. And you want to, right, you buy houses where you believe that your value is above the price. You don't where the opposite is true. And so we'll see that. We'll also see, I think AI is going to expedite the move towards, I won't call them broadly self-service transactions, but transactions where the consumer determines when and where they want that human expertise versus the augmented value that the agent or the lender can provide to them. This could be in like finding the house, could be negotiating the price, could be documenting the transaction. All of these things, I think, are going to be benefiting from, you know, AI and improving that homeowner journey, giving more confidence to consumers, allowing them to pick and choose when and where they get the information, and ultimately streamline the process to make it easier to get to closing.
So I think it's interesting there because you really have focused in on the home buyer, right? Or the consumer in this situation, but really it's a two-way street. So there's this whole opportunity and it makes things better for everyone else involved in the process, whether that's title or appraisal or lenders or real estate agents or whatever.
That's right.
So when we talk about, you know, how the engagement with the consumer changes, maybe narrow in on that a little bit, even from the professional point of view.
Well, I think to that point, I think you're right, right? And I think I introed by saying that it does affect everybody, right? And when and where people interact will become much more of a streamlined process. So getting the agents and loan officers, right, the underwriters, the inspectors, the appraisers, all to share information more communally, more readily is something that, you know, part of the AI pattern recognition, right, is able to do. If we can take these large data sets and glean information, a 20-year-old has very similar, there's a lot of things that a 20-year-old does similarly, regardless of, you know, where you are in the US, 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 60-year-old, right? There are patterns about those folks that can be gleaned that can then be used by all the different participants in making sure that the communications are clear, right? The information and education is timely, and that the process reduces the stress level for consumers, right? We all know buying a house, selling a house, hugely stressful to most folks because it is a 1 to 5 time experience in your lifetime, right? A lot of economic risk, financial pressure. And so artificial intelligence, right? Finding ways to emulate, right, human behavior, not just Gen AI, but traditional AI and machine learning as well. These are all covenants that are based on more and more data. And the fact that, right, you're seeing more and more of the data kind of coming to more centralized places really does make it valuable. I do think that, you know, there is some, you know, we're all kind of sitting around thinking about the situation with NAR and the commission lawsuits and how that might impact that journey. And so there's a lot of conversation, I think, not only in our shop, but in other shops about what is the right interaction between a buyer if the buyer is either unrepresented, right, or represented in a different way versus a seller. And so how does the technology embrace that in a way that's transparent? I think for consumers, we will see more and more transparency around, you know, what they see in a good way. And it makes them much more comfortable in the transaction.
Interesting, because, you know, you talked about in the next 12 to 18 months. And if we look back the last 12 to 18 months, huge changes in the Gen AI capabilities, or maybe it's just like more visible because of ChatGPT so that the average person understands a little bit more what's, you know, what's possible. Because I know some of these things you've been working on forever. I love that you were talking about interrogating the images, right? Like that just was not possible 15 years ago, 10 years ago. There, you just didn't have a way to do that.
That's exactly right. And this is where we think, you know, from our perspective, where we've done a lot of investing is we know that real estate is emotional, right? We know that real estate, I say it's optical, right? People walk into a house. You and I could walk into the same exact house and look at the walls, look at the finishes and have completely different interpretations of not only what they look like today, but what they could look like in the future. And so taking the step towards image recognition and computer vision technologies that just weren't available a decade ago and layering those into this experience taking what we call that unstructured data and creating something valuable out of it is, I think, a turning point in the real estate industry. We've been happy to be on the cutting edge of it, on the bleeding edge of it, leaning into these technologies, because we do think that is a gap in how consumers want, right, to understand the real estate transaction. And that's just one great example of, you know, where we found an opportunity to do that with something that just didn't exist in the past.
I love that. Well, let's dig in a little bit more specifically, right? What AI applications is Home Genius Real Estate really focusing on?
So I just kind of mentioned part of it. So let me back up a second. I just want to, just for our listeners. So artificial intelligence writ large, right? Big umbrella category that is all about emulating human behavior, right? Getting it to learn, make decisions, solve problems. The first subcategory of that is what we call machine learning. And so this is where we're using advanced algorithms to detect patterns in data, right? This is kind of, you take all the old econometrics and, right, you build it into these advanced algorithms. The next layer down, we call deep learning. And so deep learning is leveraging neural networks to simulate the brain, right? Effectively using layers of simulations to extract information out of it. So these things are getting more and more complex. And the last, the latest now is generative AI, or Gen AI. And that's actually the generation of content, importantly, without explicit instruction. And so we've trained, you train these very, very large language models, these generalized models that take in really billions and trillions of points of information. And from that, those models can then create text, images, code. Like, that's that next piece. We're actually involved at Home Genius in all of those, right? So even though Gen AI is clearly the hype these days, there is a ton of work still being done in more traditional machine learning and deep learning models that will also benefit that. But we do it, all of those, in kind of an effort to enhance our customer and client experience in this kind of ever-changing market, constantly changing. And so the Home Genius Real Estate platform is designed to provide financial institutions with kind of AI-powered sets of tools that assist their customers throughout their home ownership experience. So we like to think of that in a kind of a continuum, right? Find or search, evaluate, transact, and then own. And not necessarily in that order, right? You might already be an owner, and so it's that part of your process. You might be a renter, and so find and search might be the first part you went. But building a consistent experience that is not necessarily transaction-oriented, but rather ownership-oriented. Because over the course of our lives, you know, we're going to transact multiple times, but we still have this ownership component. And that, frankly, also, Sarah, meshes really well with Radian's overall mission, right? Radian, our parent company of Home Genius, it has the mission of enhancing home ownership possibilities for all homeowners, but largely a lot of first-time homeowners. And so, but let me give you some concrete examples. So I talked about computer vision technology. Like, we are so proud of the things that we've done in this space, because, like I said, buying a house is so emotional, so optical, and we've already embedded it. So we've developed models we call Home Genius IQ. That's our computer vision technology, that we have the ability to identify lots of information about homes around the United States as agents supply them in the process. And we identify about 800 pieces of unique information about every house that we evaluate. And that becomes information that is then valuable for things like, right, valuation of the property, right, identifying trends in the marketplaces. And so computer vision technology for us was the starting spot. How do you identify objects in a room and, right, things like that? The next phase for us is leveraging some of that information in other, right, search and other components. So we've layered into natural language processing, or NLP, using natural language search. So we have a search tool that will be released here very shortly that will allow consumers just to use layman's terms. Right? Tell us what you want and where. I want a 3-bedroom house that has a screened-in porch with a ceiling fan, a driveway on the right side. You know, I want a stone facade with a big porch with a swing. I want a fireplace in my bedroom. I want hardwoods in my kitchen. Uber personalization of that experience. Because we uniquely have invested in the computer vision side, we have all those attributes. And so even if, you know, another tool was going to allow you to speak into it and you'd say the same thing, they might only have information on the bedrooms, bathrooms, and square footage. And so your search is still going to be somewhat limited. So we have the ability to kind of lean into a more personalized search experience, both from our search engine, right, where you can actually, you know, do what I just said by filters. You can do it through your voice or your text. We also do what we call reverse image search. So you can actually upload images. So I was at your house and I saw, I loved your new kitchen renovation. I took a picture of it, right? My wife is driving down the street, saw this beautiful screen, this porch that she wants. Upload those into the system, into our search experience, and that will drive the recommendation system. So it's all about uber personalization. So we see that as being another area we're laying into. The next part for us is how do you increase that transparency throughout the experience, especially as consumers are leaning into potentially more self-service tools, right? How do we make sure that they have trust in the process, they understand what we're trying to accomplish with them, and we give them some unique tools to do that? And so for us, next up is things like reimagining and revaluing properties through, again, computer vision technologies that we're developing. It's a very powerful component that allows us to kind of streamline the experience for the consumer, but really give them things that are of actual value when they're thinking about buying or selling a house or maintaining ownership of a house.
That's such an extensive use of AI. I mean, you know, when I asked you, it was like, hey, what are you guys focused on? You know, it's like, it's not just one thing. It's so many things.
Yeah, we have, when we first embarked on our computer vision efforts a couple of years ago, probably about 30 months ago at this point, we identified out of the gate 40 different use cases for the outputs of our computer vision model, spanning, you know, appraisal quality control, right, underwriting confirmation, valuation, right, search, we talked about a wide range from property inspectors to appraisers to, right, agents to loan officers, risk managers, right? There is this dire need for information about what we can tell about a property, and importantly, things like condition. So one of the models we developed actually emulates the GSE's requirements to appraisers on defining condition. And so you can load a photo in and we can tell you instantaneously not only what room it is, but what you think the condition is. Imagine that from a search perspective. You might be a fix and flip, or somebody wants to renovate the property yourself. You can't go to other experiences and say, well, find me houses that need renovation. Right? But you can in ours, right? Because, you know, we've leaned into this as a set. So generative AI, we're leaning into now as well. Like, we think there is a lot of opportunity both internally and externally. And so, you know, we are investigating all those different pieces and rolling out some stuff here shortly.
The people that you work with, the customers that you guys have, what do they say about some of these capabilities now?
You know, it's funny, you know, as a guy who's been in the technology space for a long time, there's always this challenge between getting people to envision the value of things that they don't have today versus getting people just to kind of like, how do you enhance what I have? Like, okay, I can, you know, file this down the edge. I can put this square peg in the round hole. It's a lot more difficult and challenging from a product standpoint to get people to understand, like, here is the art of the possible. And what's happened is in the past, 10 years ago, it was a lot longer, right? The mind can envision things. It was a lot harder to actually implement them. Now with the growth of so many different smart data scientists and smart designers, the power of the tech, the infrastructure itself, we can bring to market much, much quicker, both proofs of concept, but also products, things we couldn't do as fast in the future. And it keeps getting faster. And so for us, it's a great time to be doing that. And customers see that now, because in the past it was like, hey, let's talk about this concept and maybe we'll have it out in 18 months. And now it's like, hey, I whipped this up right over the last 4 weeks and here's a prototype that I can actually see either in like live through HTML or maybe through Figma, and I can actually see it. And that resonates, right? Most people are just visual, and you got to give them something they can see. And so they love it. They love the fact that we can help them extend their brand, right? Build loyalty. Most of our clients already have trusted relationships, right? Their issue is not building trust, it's building stickiness. And so the tools that we're trying to use data science to develop are those tools that create that stickiness for those clients as they face out their consumers.
And we see the lack of stickiness in our industry. So, you know, like how many lenders never get the referral business, never get the repeat business? How many title companies do their customers know who they are, remember who they are later? I mean, stickiness is so key you know, especially in a time like this where every single loan, every single household, every single inspection, everything is, you know, very precious.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, I think when you think about financial institutions in particular, again, personalization at every aspect of their business, it's the right message at the right time. But that requires significant data, and in particular, personal data. And this is where I think from a financial institution's perspective, lenders are actually, you know, they've been kind of behind in that they were the ones being disintermediated, right, or steered away, et cetera, et cetera. I do think that the tools that are out there now that they can, you know, participate in allow their data and their relationship, their long-term relationship, to be the catalyst for these better, right, situations for them to be longer term. The algorithms can analyze, right, massive amounts of data. And now to the extent they have those longer term kind of stickier-ish relationships. And so I think if I look across financial institutions, if I was a lender, I'd be pretty excited about the opportunity to now be able to leverage that data in a way that builds more of that stickiness and I won't say moves you up to the top of the funnel, but certainly moves up funnel from a recognition perspective with your consumers.
Well, and just in ways that, like we said, you couldn't do before. I mean, I'm sure you spend a good amount of time, like you said, like helping people visualize what it is that that data can do. It's been sitting there for a long time, some of it, and you know, they haven't been able to do that much with it.
That's right. It's right. Yeah, a lot of institutions that I talk to, right, their goal is to move into what we call an accept model framework. So today, when a financial institution has you a customer, wants you as a customer, they put offers in front of you. And that offer still requires that you respond in some way by supplying some information or doing something. And it's because they don't necessarily have the right infrastructure to know everything about you before they make you that offer. So offers are not entirely personalized. They're generalized and they become personalized when you respond to it, you fill out a form, right? You get what they want, then it becomes personalized. The accept model infers that they have enough information about you, your past histories, your behaviors, financial situation, to be able to put something out in front of you and say, just hit this accept button. You need to do nothing else. Hit this accept button and it's yours. That takes kind of a fundamental shift in the way they think about data and how to leverage that data in, right, their campaigns. And so I do think that, you know, there is an opportunity for the accept model to gain traction more quickly through artificial intelligence and the use of these tools than, again, they ever could before. And so I think there's an opportunity there from a lender space as well.
Where have you seen the most exciting application of AI?
I mean, there's a lot. I tell people like my neighbor's is literally a NASA rocket scientist, and they had a launch 3 days ago, and he tells me all these stories about how they use, right, artificial intelligence, and frankly, the military has historically been a leader in most of the technology that end up in the consumer at some point down the road, right? All the work that's done in those spaces. So some really, really cool stuff that's done there. I think in real estate, right, to kind of maybe keep it grounded and not let Steve go off on a side tangent that he would love to go down. But I think in real estate, I think the computer vision stuff that's happening is tremendous, and it's only getting faster and better quickly. I know I harp on it, but you know, we haven't talked about using the generative tools to now modify and create imagery. And so if you think about the consumer's ability to then think about what they want in a product. So take a search example where a consumer says, I'm looking for this type of property, right? These attributes, this location, this everything. Right now, they're looking at a handful of attributes and they can't really normalize that, right? But imagine a structure where you could then use tools to say, here's four other properties you're considering. Now, let me modify them using generative tools to construct the house, right? To normalize them so that all the houses look about what you want it to be, right? Maybe one house is missing a bathroom, right? Another house might be just lower condition than the other. And so you have to, right, do some renovation to it. Maybe another has a floor plan that doesn't fit exactly what you're looking for. And using generative tools to actually reconstruct those and then revalue them. So what is the cost of that construction? How do I take that from, I see that house could do that, but what's it going to cost me? Normalize that. that bridges that gap to what I call price and value. And so now you have consumers that in theory can go out and say, I take these, I can look at these. Now I have a really normalized value set that says, here's my true vision of what I want. Here's what I think I can have because it's in the marketplace. Here's what it takes to get it where I want it to be. Now I can make a real decision. We're seeing a lot of work into that space, both internally in our shop and at other shops. It looks really, really important. I do think that gamification, right? There's a lot of gamification in this process. The metaverse is something that will develop over time. I think changing consumer behavior in something like this it's a longer tail, right, than something that's going to happen overnight. We've seen it. We've seen a lot of folks kind of jump into the metaverse. But I do think there are absolute applications, especially as folks are more and more comfortable with kind of remote interactions. Frankly, the fact that we're all, right, a lot of folks are remote actually will, I think, help the metaverse become more real more quickly because of the natural comfort that consumers have with it. We've seen AI in design, right? So optimizing design and architecture, looking at, you know, building codes and looking at, you know, structural soundness and saying, how do I, right, structure something and make something that I can do? And I think, again, going back a little bit to computer vision, photorealism. I think this is really cool. It used to be like, you know, we'd have an avatar and the avatar would be like some cartoon, right, emoji of ourselves. And, you know, it looked kind of close, right? My brothers have them, right? And imagine, though, the go forward, and we're seeing this now where photorealism in image generation allows us to, it'll be very difficult to distinguish between me sitting here talking to you and, you know, you being some sort of photorealistic impression of yourself. It's a great opportunity, frankly, I think, to extend the brand, the personal brands, right, of agents and concierge and other participants. Most people search for properties that they're going to buy at nighttime, right, when agents aren't necessarily working. And so imagine having this photorealistic assistant, right, that maybe it is yourself. It's terrifying for me at the same time. Like, I live in this space and I know what is possible. And it's terrifying that these technologies could be used in the wrong way. But it's also exciting that there are some real opportunities that people can layer into that can do that. And so you can unify these workflows in a completely personalized way, 24/7, 365, and your customer gets, again, what they want, when they want it, and how they want it.
That is so key. What do you think is next for AI?
Well, let me break that into two categories, short-term and, may I say, short-term, long-term, short-term, like 2024, 25. I think in 24, you're going to see a significant shift towards enterprises internally using more of what I'll call the co-piloting. Microsoft does call theirs co-pilot, but these co-piloting, these assistants, these AI-driven assistants to perform tasks internally. And so I think, right, things like helping you to summarize documents, summarize meetings, some of us are doing it already, writing emails, right, helping you with presentations, those things are going to be much more mainstream in 24, and it's going to create, right, real opportunities for folks to become more efficient in the tasks that they actually do. I think training tools, I think, will also be an area in the short term where, you know, especially with, you know, again, being remote, younger generations coming in. One of the great benefits of the AI technology space is that it allows you to upskill people much more effectively and much more quickly if you have the tools in place. And so we have younger generations coming in. They're not necessarily getting in-person training. And so having tools that are much more suited towards training them with these tools, I think is very valuable. I do also think that 2024 is going to be called what I call the year of smaller LLMs. So we talk about these large language models, and people are open AI, right? And Amazon has theirs, right? Meta has theirs, right? Microsoft has theirs. They all have these large language models. And that has been really the dominance of, you know, four or five companies that have access to so much information and money. I mean, let me put this into perspective. ChatGPT-4, okay, cost $100 million to train the model. It was 25,000 servers running for 100 days straight, 24/7. It consumed about 50 gigawatts of power. So a 1 gigawatt power plant can power about 700,000 properties, per year. So imagine the amount of cost and time and money it took just to train that one model. Not something they can do every single week. Okay, so they're putting it in place again. So I do think what's going to happen is you're going to see this growth of what I call smaller LLMs, like more specialized LLMs that will come together in ensemble platforms. And so you'll be able to do some of that stuff. And then fraud detection. I think that's something that's going to see a lot of push in 2024, 25. Like we've seen a lot of that because we need it, right? Cyber attacks are on the rise. Ransomware attacks are on the rise. Fraud detection is something that's going to be very important, in particular as more of these processes are handled by non-expert right participants, called the Uberization of some of these tool sets. It shifts us from relying on the expert to say this is what it is, to being able to verify the information that other people are providing to us. So I think in the short term, those are kind of things that I see. Longer term, I'm very bullish on immersive experiences and augmented reality. It's simply too expensive today from a hardware perspective, right? Apple Vision Pro, $4,000, right, for a unit. There's very few people in America either will afford that, or people will do it for a single use case, like, hey, I'm going to go buy a house. I want to see immersion. I want to go buy an Apple Vision Pro. And so I think that over time, that will be the case. Now, I don't think the traditional 3D tours are actually pretty good if you just want to kind of walk through a house and see what it looks like. I think where immersion is going to make a big difference is two areas. One is when you can walk through a house and you can modify that house, right, on the fly, is through your take out their furniture, put in your own furniture, because you have a library of images of your furniture, put in there, see how it stages, right? Change the flooring, change the walls, change some of the layouts, right? That immersion, I think, would be very valuable for consumers, and it's on the free. I think the other one that I think might be even more valuable is kind of this external immersion, right? Where I can actually be outside the house, and I can walk around the property, or I can walk up and down the street. I can see different angles where the sun hits at different times of the day. I can see traffic patterns. I know how much traffic is coming by that property at any given time, right? I can envision all that stuff. I think that is another one. And then lastly, explainability, right? We've heard about the hallucinations. We've heard about the issues with some of these models. I think the pendulum will swing back the other direction where we will be required to be able to explain it. I tell people all the time, Microsoft or OpenAI cannot tell you what's going to come out of the ChatGPT model right now. Right? It's non-deterministic. And that is a challenge, right? Imagine that. The builder of it can't tell you what's going to come out of it. And so we have to assume the pendulum is going to come back the other direction, which is important for trust and believability. Those ethical standards have to be put in place, and responsible AI is going to think in that step up in kind of the 24, 25, 26 range.
Oh my gosh, what a great discussion. Thank you for going over all of those points and really digging deep on some of this. We hear a lot about it, but giving all those really specific examples, very helpful. If our listeners want to find out more about how Home Genius Real Estate is offering some of these things and they want more information, where should they go?
HomeGeniusRealEstate.com. That is the stop. All of our tools are there and we have a lot of information there as well.
That is easy enough. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Great discussion. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to take a minute to rate the show and leave a comment. And make sure to tune in tomorrow for more news and insight.